Good afternoon, everyone. I spoke to Mr. Jones there about time, and I'm going to take just a little bit extra time, not too much. He said he could finish his in 2.5 hours, and I said I'd just need an hour, so about sundown we'll be finished up. And so the title of the sermonette, if you want, is, again, Life is a Highway. How many of you just sang the lyrics there in your head when I said that? You've heard that song. It was a song that was written many years ago and then was reproduced and for a kids' movie, the Cars movie. And the song goes through a little bit about life, but it says life's like a road that you travel on. It's one day here, the next day gone. And goes on talking about the analogy, if you will, between life and driving down a highway or living on a highway. You know, Christ himself seemed to speak a lot of times in analogies and giving things that people scratched their head and they said, what is he talking about? This doesn't make any sense. The one episode, what is he talking about buying bread? What does he say? 11 of the Pharisees, they thought he spoke about bread. And we'll turn to Matthew chapter 13 and begin, if you will. Matthew chapter 13, and starting in verse 1. Says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So he got in a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he went out into the kind of almost, you might imagine, like an amphitheater type situation. Probably he's out on the ocean or on the sea and in a boat, and everyone's sitting on the banks, and he's, you know, kind of looking out there, almost like a little stage on the water, I guess. He's talking to them. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And so he goes on to talk about the parable of the sower. And we're not, the point is not to cover the parable of the sower here. We've all heard that parable, and that's for another message. But in verse 9, he says something interesting. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, you could listen to a song like Life is a Highway, and you could say, oh, let's just talk about driving down the highway. What's he talking about? Just driving down the highway. He's out on a car. And, you know, sometimes you ever had those things where you hear a song, and, you know, you're beat-bopping along with it, and you don't even really know what it's about. You just know it's... And it turns out it's something totally different than what you ever had any idea that it was. But if you have ears, back on the old show Dukes of Hazzard, they used to say, you got your ears on? If you've got your ears on, you began to start to inspect and look into what's he talking about. So he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10, and the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, we've covered this before, and I know you all have heard this said before, that so that hearing they would not hear, and seeing they would not understand. That's what we've always understood. We've kind of caught a little glimpse of that. But let's look at this from another point of view. Yes, but he also spoke in parables so that seeing, they would hear and they would understand. So, yes, folks outside of here may not understand the analogy, yet we do. And so then becomes the question, was the speaking that was done in these parables, was it given to us to confuse us? Or to make us understand it even more. Have you ever stopped to consider why we speak in parables? Why do we teach lessons like the, why do we hear the stories like the little boy who cried wolf? And why do we have songs that are written poetically? Because it gives us some variety in life. It gives us some imagination that we can somehow kind of transport out of who we are and go sit in someone else's shoes and look at a situation and go, well, I can kind of see that. All of a sudden I'm imagining that I'm this sower who's sowing seed, and I see the seed being tossed out, and then I look over here and this is sprouting up and this is not, and here's why, and how I compare those to people, and how I make this all work out in my mind. And for some reason, as human beings, if we have our ears on and our eyes on, it becomes that it helps to make it make sense. Now, if we don't have ears or eyes, we're talking about a plant. Why is he talking about a corn plant? Was he a gardener? And so someone who's passing through and hears Christ talking about, well, this seed is sown, and they go, oh, he must be a gardener. I'm not interested in gardening. I could care less about gardening. So unless they had their ears on and chose to sit and listen to what he was saying, they wouldn't understand. But he answered them, because it has been given to you, me, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. Why? For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not understand, nor do they understand. Verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. So they walk by and hear him talking about seed, and they say, gardening. I care about gardening. I know all about, as a matter of fact, I already know all about gardening. I could teach him a thing or two about some seed. He's a carpenter. What's he know about casting any seed? My dad was a farmer. Or whatever excuse or reason they have to turn it off. But verse 15 says, interestingly enough, says, for the hearts of his people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should. So wait a second. He's talking this way. Why? Not necessarily to confuse them, because he already knows they are confused, partly, and also to just kind of hide it from them for their own good, so that they don't understand. And so he's kind of using their own weaknesses against them and for them at the same time. He says it's not the time, basically, for them to understand it, because if they understood it, they might repent and change, then they'd fall off and on the wayside. So he says, lest they should understand with their heart and turn. Well, wouldn't he want them to turn? Well, it goes on and says, so that I should heal them. He doesn't want to right now. It's not for their time. So he's using what he knows that they don't care, and he's mercifully talking in code, if you will, in a parable, so that they don't hear, because he knows it's not the right time for them, and they wouldn't accept it, and it would be actually to their demise if they did understand. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired, so they actually wanted, some of them wanted to see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. So then he goes on to explain. Any of you all enjoy creative writing? You ever do any creative writing? Ever at all? Ever any writing, any poetry, or sit down and think about, have you ever done that? Yeah? To explain poetry or to write poetry, you have to start making comparisons, don't you? About, you know, maybe we learn about similes and metaphors when we're in school. And so we began to, why do we do that? Why do people enjoy reading poetry? It gives them more of a clarity. I enjoy parables and examples quite a bit, and I've found that I'm in pretty good company there. Because Christ enjoys or and teaches lots of times in those manner. We see lots of different parables throughout the Bible. And so we who have ears can learn from these parables. We also learn from the direct stories and the straightforward things that he talks about, telling the exact examples of what happened to this person or that person. But then he backs up, and some of these stories that he tells are just simply stories. They're not even real. He doesn't give, maybe they could have happened probably, but he doesn't give specifics. He says, there was a certain so-and-so. And you can tell that he's telling the story not as a true life story, but as a parable. And he even mentions, tells, it's a parable, which is supposed to be a story that is true, and all the content of it is true, and what it causes and the effects and how it happens is all true. But he's not talking about a sower. The seed is this, and the this is that. So it's not this, it's not real. It's a parable. You know, Paul compares life to a race. Is Paul really talking about running a race? Did Paul run races? Was he a, and we could, you know, Paul's up here, let me tell you about the race. And someone walks by and goes, oh, that must be some kind of track event they're having in there in that place. I don't care anything about that. And so if they don't have ears, a friend and I wrote a song years ago called Actual Miles, and we talked about how I've seen heartaches and hard times, crooked roads and dotted lines. We did see some crooked roads and dotted lines, but you know, what's the crooked road? It's a tough way of life, the dotted line. When times are going well and you can get out on the road and you can pass. And so life is like a highway. Life is like a road that we travel on. One thing that we'll always need on a road are laws. Can you imagine if you had gotten in your car today? Would you have even gotten in your car today? And headed to church if there are no laws, no traffic laws? Do we even realize and stop to realize the laws? You know, the white line is a law. That white line on the side of the road is a law. What's it there for? It's a boundary. It has to be there. It, by law, that has to be there. They have specifics, ordinances, ways, laws that say this, when you build a road, has to be built this way. Well, we know what that white line means. That means that's the edge of the road. You drive to the left side of that white line. Beverly gets really frustrated when she goes, you know, these four lanes where you have the pull-throughs? And some of the pull-throughs, you hug the inside lane as you pull through, right? Yet some of them, you pull on past and you go over to the other side. You stay to the right. Sometimes you stay to the left. And it depends on which line is there, where that yellow line goes or where that white line goes and how it works. How many people don't understand that law? And so there's confusion when you pull up to those. Have you ever noticed that? That there's, most people don't really pay attention to that. She gets really frustrated with when people do that. And so what you end up having to do a lot of times there is just kind of watch the guy and see what he does and stay out of his way, whoever the other guy is. And you try to follow the law sometimes on that, and you'll end up in an accident because you're coming to turn across a four lane going over here, and this guy, he thinks that he's supposed to go over to the other side and pull on through to go out and turn left, or vice versa. And so you could end up in a T-bone crash there. Just one little law, the boundaries. And then, of course, we have these lines in the middle that tell us, and in our country, you know, the law says you drive to the right side of the yellow line. Well, if you go to another country, it may be different, or they may have a lack of law. Have you ever been to a foreign country? We were in the Bahamas several years ago. And when you come to an intersection, whoever gets there first and whoever can push everybody else out of the way and bluff everybody else to get through, that's who gets through. And sometimes, if we didn't have laws, the laws to protect mankind from things like theft, murder, and all those things. That's what it would be. Survival of the fittest. And so we would see that when we come to an intersection, whoever gets there first. And some of these countries, I don't know why they haven't figured out that they need, or that they haven't learned from maybe a four-way stop or the dreaded roundabout that we all end up ourselves in sometimes that nobody understands. But they haven't learned to say, this would make this a lot better if we had these stop signs. And mankind hasn't learned that by applying God's laws in our lives on the highway of life, that, wow, this makes it a lot better. So mankind says, let's take all the laws away. Let's take God's laws away. And let's go drive. Everybody drive where you want to. Well, that works out great. Because I like to drive on the left-hand side of the road. Mr. Jones, he likes to drive in the middle. Vince, he likes to drive as fast as he wants to go. No seatbelt, hard as he can go. Head hanging out the window. Steve wants to ride his motorcycle on a wheelie. I mean, that should be allowed. And it should never come in conflict. And Val, she wants to lay down in the middle of the road and get a suntan if she wants to. But there's no law, so that's legal. Because, you know, there is a law that you can't lay down in the middle of the road. That's against the law. You're not allowed to do that. So mankind has all of these laws on the highway that we get out and drive, which is important. Physically, it's important. Yet we want to throw out all law when it comes to things like murder, things like adultery, things like Sabbath breaking. And they say, it won't hurt anything. We should all be able to do what we want to do. And while we unknowingly, for the most part, follow all of these laws every time we get on the road, and what's our purpose? Why do we follow them? Because if we don't follow them, we know that if we follow these laws, we can go wherever we want to go. We can get out on this road, and we have this freedom. We can get out on this road, on this highway, we can go wherever we want to go. The rewards are great. You want to head off to Panama City Beach or down to Florida for something, or up to California or north to see the Niagara Falls or wherever you want to go, or just down to the store to get something, you can go. And so you have all this freedom, this liberty, as long as you follow the laws and stay within the laws. And it works. For the most part, it works. The only time it doesn't work, have you ever noticed? It's when someone breaks the law, either on purpose or unknowingly. Now, I can unknowingly break the law if my wheel flies off my car and I cross that yellow line and hit someone head on. Well, I broke the law, but I didn't mean to. It just something that happened, but it still caused the problem. Crossing that line breaks that law because the law says stay on the right side of the yellow line. And so there becomes a problem. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 10 says, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this commandment which I command you this day is not too mysterious for you, nor is it too far off. So these are followable laws. You never hear anybody say, I'm not going to go out there and drive because I just can't follow these traffic laws. They're just too, and you know how many traffic laws there are? They don't even cover all the traffic laws when you go and get your license. Dane had to take his test. Of course, there's a book, you know, it's this thick, and they don't even cover all of them. There are so many things out there that you have to know. They don't even cover all of them. You just kind of have to learn, I think, as you go. And then there are all these standards. They're not too hard. They're not too mysterious. And they're not too far off. to follow these laws. And without them, we get into these accidents. We get into these problems, these catastrophes. And yet with them comes freedom. God gives us freedom. It's called the narrow path. Yet that narrow path leads out of problems and difficulties and into a wide open world full of opportunity. A way that we can be so successful, have so much enjoyment, as long as we go on the road, the highway that's going to the right place. Our destination is there. It's been set for us. And so we have the ability to be able to go in freedom and enjoy. James 1. James chapter 1. I invite you, if you haven't ever stopped to put your ears on and consider things like parables. Some people just really don't mind, don't care about those. It takes a little effort. Others, it seems to be a more natural thing that they really enjoy those things. But, you know, our elder brother and our guide, he spoke in those manners in order to teach us. So if we don't consider sometimes the undertones that people are using when they write a song, or when they write a poem, or when they tell a story that seems to be about a race, or about that you think they're a farmer, you may be missing the point. And sometimes those are the things that can get our attention more than anything else. And Christ must have known that, as much as he wanted to hide some of the things from people, he also said for us, it is given to understand. James 1 verse 25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does." These laws we get on the highway, for the most part, we don't look at them as being oppressive. But we could. We could. We could take every one of them, and we could say, "I don't want to drive on the right side. I want to drive on the left side. I don't want to go the speed limit. I don't want to stop at the stop sign. I'm going to do what I want to do." It's funny, isn't it funny that most people don't do that? All the rebels out there still stop at the stoplight most of the time. I mean, you take the wildest guy in the world, a guy that has no regard for anything, he's still going to stop at the red light. He may be mad about it, but he's going to stop at the red light. Why? I guess the consequences are too great. I guess the consequences are just too great. He says, "Well, my life's worth more than that." Or there could be a cop sitting around here somewhere. But in life, we, hopefully not us, but mankind says, "No, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about the law. I'm not worried about the enforcer of the law. I'm not worried about any of that." One more piece of the puzzle that I'll add in closing is Psalm 119, verse 105. And as we drive, and sometimes we drive at night, sometimes we're in the dark, having to drive. And of course, the law says you got to have your headlights on. It tells us that we have to have our headlights on. It's a law. You ever see anybody driving around at night without their headlights on? Maybe every once in a while. But most people don't, do they? Most people, they care enough about themselves and everything else around them to turn their headlights on at night so they can see where they're going. And so God tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I'd like to give you a homework assignment, if you will. Just a little simple. I'd like you to listen to a song, if you will. And it's a song, and we can write this down. It's by Steve Wariner, W-A-R-I-N-E-R, Steve Wariner. And the song's called Life's Highway. And I'd like for you to listen to that song with two things in mind. And it wasn't written by, it's not a song that's going to be played on special music. It's not anything like that. But it is a parable, if you will, or an analogy. And I want you to listen to that song with two things in mind. If you have to listen to it twice, or if you just in your mind kind of go back and forth. Listen to it from a world's point of view, if you will, without the laws, without God's laws implied in this. And then listen to it from the point of view of that I have God's law. I have God's law and guide as I'm following this life's highway. And just see if you're interested in that. And if you care enough to talk about it, get a hold of me sometime. Let's chat about it. Just get your thoughts and what you put into that. If you learned anything from it, if you didn't, that's okay. Maybe you didn't. Maybe it's too simplified. Maybe it's not even something that opens a thought to you. But for me, it did. As I was listening to that song last night, and I thought about playing it, but I didn't. And I thought, well, maybe you guys could just do that on your own and listen to it when you're in the privacy of your own home or in your car or whatever else. And you can look at that and you can apply to this bit of a parable or a simile or a metaphor or whatever you want to call it. That's not really about a highway. We're not in here talking about traffic laws today. This is when someone walks by. It's not a meeting above the state police and we're enforcing traffic laws. But maybe you apply these two different ideas to this song and watch what happens in the change of it. How do you feel about being on life's highway with God's law or without God's law? And what do you see? So if you want to talk about that, discuss it, get back with me. Hope this is enjoyable, and I hope that life's highway, think what is the word that I said. I'll have to leave you. There was a line in the song that I wanted to leave you with, and I forgot what that final one is, but I'll give it to you. I'll give that line to you later on.